here. Thanks for the help back to the trip. I've left all of the work together this morning. Think about God's word. Most of you know. Mary Anthony had problems with a valve in her heart that has been creating problems for her. Has been seeing doctors that have been having scans and that. Going through a lot of things to evaluate this problem and to decide what needs to be done, how it can be done. And I know that in this world, the medical field is able to do a lot. And I'm thankful for that. But as I thought about this whole thing that Mary's going through, and I had to think about me personally, how is my heart doing? That's the title of the message. Is my heart working properly? And as I thought about all the things that I did some research and study on some of these scans that are being done, some of the tests that are being done, I did some research on the heart valve and how that works and what happens not working. I did some reading on some of the different ways that it can be repaired and corrected. And I started realizing that, you know, this is a picture of what happens when my heart isn't working right. I'm not talking about my physical heart. I'm talking about my heart in relation to God, heart in relation to other people. And I had to think, you know, in Mary's case, they're going to put another valve in there so it works properly, so that her heart can work properly. But you know, in my case, if my heart isn't working properly, God doesn't want to just repair it. He wants to replace it. He wants to give me a new heart. He wants to give me a heart that is pliable. He says in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, he says, I want to take out the stony heart, and I want to give you a heart of flesh, a pliable heart, one that works. A stony heart, one that's hard, does not work. God wants to take that out. He doesn't just want to repair something that is not functioning properly. He wants to take it out and give us a new heart. Brothers and sisters, this morning, as we go through this message, my prayer is that we allow God to work in our hearts and to change our heart from a stony heart. And yes, you might say, well, I'm not a hard-hearted person. But you know, if you're not allowing God to work in your heart, if you're not allowing God to work through you and in you, then you have a hard heart. And God wants to get control of that. God wants to fix that. Mary's been struggling with fatigue, no energy. If you try to do something, she gets short of breath very quickly. Just sit down. There's no energy, no strength, and no power. Jesus says in John 15, verse 5, he says, I am the vine, Ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, it suffereth. Brothers and sisters, my heart is not good. It's because I am allowing Jesus to be there. And what that does to me is it makes me powerless. It makes me without strength. And I have no energy to do spiritual things. I need a heart that is controlled and powered by Jesus Christ in order for me to be functional in the spiritual life, in order for me to have power and strength to do the things that God wants me to do. I can't do it on my own. When I try to do things on my own, in my own power and my own strength, you know what that yields? That yields sin. Because this carnal man is prone to sin. But when I allow Jesus Christ to be my life, I have strength, I have power, I have energy to overcome sin and Satan. I have the strength to fight the battle because Jesus is right there. Because Jesus is filling my heart, my heart is functioning properly. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I ask you, do you have the energy and the power in your life that Jesus Christ can give you? Or are you spending that power because you don't want God to control your life? Maybe there's an area in your life. In Mary's case, it's just one valve in her heart. The rest of her heart is fine. Just one valve in her heart. Maybe there's one area in your heart that you want to keep from God. Maybe there's one thing in your life that you're trying to hide from God. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that's a foolish thought. Because you can't hide anything from God. You can hide it from us. You can hide it from mankind. You can hide it from the church. You can hide it from the preacher. You can hide it from your children. You can hide it from your spouse. But you can never hide it from God. And maybe it's just that one little area in your life that you're not allowing God to have full control. Brothers and sisters, that's going to zap your energy. That's going to keep you from having the power, from having the energy to do what God wants you to do what God is expecting of you. And that is to live a vibrant, full Christian life and be a testimony for Him. You know, when we don't have any power, we can't love, we can't serve, we can't share kindness. What happens is we're selfish, we're hateful, we're proud, we're wanting to be served. That's what a powerless heart wants. But when we allow God to work in our hearts through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the strength, we have the power we need to live a victorious Christian life. Another thing that Mary was struggling with was filling up with fluids, added weight. The heart couldn't work it off, and she didn't have the energy to be active enough to work off those fluids. You know, that can happen in our spiritual life as well. That can happen to our spiritual heart, but our spiritual heart isn't functioning properly. We begin to take on the weight of sin. We begin to be weighed down by the burdens of guilt and conviction. We begin to be weighed down by the burdens that we talked about in Sunday school this morning about the false accusations that can weigh us down instead of being able to lay it all on Jesus Christ. Another weight that we can that we've been experiencing is the weight of self-denial. You know, it can be a real struggle for an individual whose heart isn't working right to deny themselves of their fleshly lusts and desires. But a person whose heart is right, who is functioning properly, and has the power of Jesus Christ, that individual is able to have the power and the strength and be able to work off or lay aside those weights. In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies to be living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe that we need to understand that as we go through life, there are times when we need to present ourselves again to Jesus Christ, to God. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Have you made that decision this morning? Present your body again today to the Lordship and the power of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, if you haven't done that. You're not going to be able to lay aside. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 1 and 2 again. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm going to stop right there right now and look and focus on the fact of needing to lay aside the weight. You know, when we are hindered by weights, we can't function and do what we need to do. Have you ever tried, and this may be a weird scenario, but have you ever tried to fix something with a 50-pound bag of something strapped to your back? It's kind of hard work. It makes things so much harder. God wants us to get rid of those weights. God wants us to get rid of that excess sin, says the weight, and the sin which does so easily beset us or hinder us. That sin hinders us in our Christian life. And you may think it's a small thing. You may think it's something little. Well, it doesn't really mean much. You know, it's just a weakness that I have. Brothers and sisters, let's call it sin. Let's be willing to admit that there's sin that is weighing me down, that is keeping me from being totally victorious in the Christian life. You might be able to go on through life and believe that you're living a full Christian life. And yes, there's a few things that maybe I should be taking care of. Yeah, this isn't quite, you know, I know this isn't quite where God wants it to be. And we talk sometimes about, you know, we make excuses, God's still working on me. And I understand that God has never done working with us. That I understand. But brothers and sisters, the thing that I don't understand, the thing that has happened to me many times over is, that when I know God is working on something in my life, and then you say, well, you know, I'm a work in progress, you know, and I really don't do anything about it. I don't allow him to remove that weight that he is showing me so evidently that is in my life. I don't allow him to work with me and to relieve me of those weights so that I can be free to serve him. Brothers and sisters, this morning, just stop and think. Ask yourself the question, have I freed myself, or have I allowed God or Jesus to free me of the weights that are hanging on me? And then ask another question. How much better will I be able to serve God? How much freer will I be to serve God if I would allow Him to remove any weights that He wants me to have removed? We can try to cut the band ourselves. We can try and ignore those weights. We can try and say, well, you know, I'll just take it off. You know, brothers and sisters, what happens if you're not willing to confess your sin to God? You're trying to remove those weights by yourself. And maybe they're not on your back, but you're still dragging them along because you haven't confessed it. You haven't confessed to God that, yes, this is sin. And I need you to take this way. That brings me to verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You can try and get rid of those weights by yourself, but we need to look to Jesus. We need to allow Jesus to work in our lives. We need to have the same. Scripture talks about having the same mind in us that was in Christ Jesus. And he talks, he goes on there and talks about not being high-minded, you know, being having a mind of humility and service. But I believe also here we need to have the mind of Christ, where he defies the shame. Because he can look forward to the reward. Brothers and sisters, sometimes what it takes is for us to gain a vision of eternity in order for us to realize that these weights that we have are not worth carrying along and allowing Jesus to take them on. Are you able to reach the spiritual heights that God wants you to reach when the weights are dragging you down? Are you able to fulfill the purpose that God has for your life if you have the weights that are dragging you down? Are you able to do anything under your own power to get rid of that weight if it's dragging you down a little? Many people in this world today would just rather go on dragging weights than paying the price to get rid of them. Another one that I thought about is the medications that Mary is on right now. Some medication for high blood pressure, which is somewhat due to the heart symptom. Some medication for fluid retention, which is due to the heart situation. I'm not saying that that's where we're going to stop. But my question is, how many times is that where we stop? We try and take medications for the symptoms rather than being willing to deal with the problem. You know, in Mary's case, it's important that those fluids get taken off, and since the heart isn't working properly, she doesn't have any energy, and the heart doesn't have any energy to work on that. So she needs medication until the surgery is over, and then they're hoping that that takes care of it. But in our Christian life, we talk about our spiritual heart. How many times when things aren't working right, we want to take the medications for the symptoms rather than endure what is needed to correct the problem? Turn back to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Verse 6. Jesus said unto him, speaking to Thomas, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Brothers and sisters, we can take all kinds of medications to remedy our sin problem. We can do all sorts of personal revitalizations, and we can do self-discipline, and we can do, the list could go on. Self-improvement projects. The world has a lot of those things to offer. Improve yourself. Make yourself a better person. Brothers and sisters, that's treating the symptoms. That is not taking care of the root problem. Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus is the way to treating the problem. Jesus is the only way to take care of what is causing all those symptoms. In the world today, we see assassinations, we see murders, we see hate, we see theft, we see abuse. You know, the symptom to that, I mean, the problem behind all that is a lack of commitment and surrender to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. He is the only way. I am the way, the truth, the life. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we as a minister can stand here in the pulpit, and we can preach to you. Sunday school teachers can get up and teach. But as long as that's all you're looking at, you're never going to find the way. You need to be looking to Jesus Christ, and we need to be pointing you to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer to the problems of the world around us. Jesus Christ is the answer to our problems. We can treat the symptoms. I'm going to be a better person. You know, I was kind of an aging person, so I'm going to try and be more positive. I'm just a person that has problems being selfish, so I'm going to try and be more kind to other people and do things for other people. That's all well and good itself. But you know, the heart problem still needs to be worked with. And that is to allow Jesus to get a hold in your heart. And then maybe that selfishness. Jesus gets a hold in your heart, and selfishness will be. So take it. to give you a heart of flesh, a viable heart. One that is looking out for others, one that is not just self-centered, but one that is looking out and reaching out to other individuals because of love. I don't know if anybody in the church class we meet the memory verse. We had this last church class. My hair is on the spot. Bad enough to have a spirit class. But Jesus says, when he's asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And he says, the second is likened to that, to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The reason he says that is because if we don't have love in our hearts, we're not going to be able to do anything according to God's will. So first of all, we need to love God. And brothers and sisters, without God, Jesus Christ in your heart, without realizing that you are sinful, without realizing that there's things in your life that need to be cleansed, without allowing Jesus Christ to change your heart, you're not going to be able to love God as you ought. You're not going to be able to love your fellow man as you ought, because you're going to be selfish, you're going to be proud, you're going to be boastful, you're going to be an envious person, and then the list goes along. Jesus Christ doesn't want to just treat sinners. He wants to treat the heart issue. And the sinners will be taken care of. Another thing that I thought about as I was thinking of this situation when Mary is in. Came on slowly. It was discovered a number of years ago at a doctor visit. The doctor listened to her heart, and the doctor said, "You have a heart problem. Not bad, not serious, and it probably won't get bad fast. But it will get worse. It's not going to get better. It's not going to go away. It will get worse. We're just going to watch it." Came on slowly. Slowly, her energy got less and less. Slowly, she was able to do less. Slowly, she started feeling the effects of it. Slowly, I started noticing. And then our children started noticing. And I know here's the last, a number of you have noticed it. They haven't heard about it. You know, that's pretty interesting, right? We feel about things in our lives. It might just be little things like skipping personal devotions and prayer. It might be those little thoughts that come into our mind, that thought of envy, maybe a little bit of anger. You know, we wouldn't act on it, but the thought is there. It goes around, but a little murmur there. Is it serious? Yes, it's serious. Because if it's not taken care of, it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. In the natural sense, they wait until it gets bad enough that they have to do something, because the little replacement valve that they're going to put in there has a certain lifespan. And that's going to have to be replaced again. So they wait until something has to be done, because, you know, they can get a couple more years and then they have to do something, and then that valve, if I remember correctly, you say approximately on average a 10-year lifespan. And then it has to, something has to be done again, something to get less, something to get more. But an average of 10 years. So if they've done this procedure back 8 years ago, when they first heard this little heartburn, we'd be looking at having procedure done again within the next 2 to 5 years. So that's why they wait. But brothers and sisters, in the spiritual life, we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait till it gets bad. We don't have to wait till it zaps our energy. We don't have to wait for all kinds of symptoms to develop to prove that now it's time to take care of it. Jesus Christ wants us to take care of it. As soon as he hears that heartburn, he says, it's time to do something. It's time to act. It's time to take care of it, because it's not going to get better by itself. It's only going to get worse. And I want you to do something. What I want you to do is allow me to take care of that issue. Second Corinthians chapter 10. There's one little phrase in there that I think portrays what God wants us to do in catching things in the bud and not waiting for it gets bad. In verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ wants us to catch those things in the bud when there's just a problem. But it's just something that's rolling in the mind. Or maybe if it's just that little thing that, well, this morning I got up late, so I'm not going to do it, so I'll do it some other time. And then day goes by, and you crawl into bed in the evening. You might think about it that you didn't have to go to bed that day, or you might not. Until the next morning when you get up again a little bit late, and you think, well, I should, you know, what? I did not have to go to bed this morning. There's a heartburn going on. What are you going to do? Are you going to take the time for the emotions? Are you going to take time to read your Bible? Are you going to take time to think on God's Word? Are you going to take time to pray? Or are you going to pass it off and say, well, it's not that serious yet? Mm. You know, it's just 2 days that I did my personal devotions. 2 days stretch on into 3 days. 2 weeks, a month. If things start getting serious, you don't have the energy that you had before. You don't have the power that you had before. There's weights that you can't get rid of anymore. A lot of people are in their hearts and minds today. Verse 4. Of 2 chapter 10 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not, but mighty through God that is pulling down strongholds. Brothers and sisters, the power of God in our lives is what's needed to correct these things. It's not something we can do. It's not a carnal weapon. It's not something we can do. It's not something I can pick up and take care of. The only thing that I can do is to surrender myself to Jesus Christ. Allow him to be Lord. And then, Ephesians tells us, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Once God has worked his work in us, then we can work God's work. We can do the things that we're required to do. We can be the person that God wants us to be. We can be the light and the testimony that is needed in this dark and sinful world, because we allow God to work in us. Not something we try to build ourselves up. Go to the last point. Here in Mary's case, if nothing were done, trying to get bad enough that the body and the heart can go. And you know, sometimes, you know, she's had doctor visits, she's had individuals telling her what should be done. She's had tests done to show exactly what's going on. And you know, Mary could make the choice and say, well, I don't believe that. And we'd say, how foolish. Doctors with a lot of knowledge of how these things work and how to correct them are telling her what needs to be done. She doesn't have energy anymore. She's feeling up. The evidences are all there. Why would you say you don't believe it? Well, I'm okay. I'm fine. Brothers and sisters, that tendency is, and every one of us, as we go through life, and there's things pointed out when we feel something in our life that we don't have the strength and the power to do that. And we say, well, I'm not fine. I'm fine. Or I can take care of myself. You know, if we don't deal with it, if we just ignore all the signs, all the evidences of sin in our lives, not only are we dead spiritually, here and now, but we're going to die eternally in hell. Eternal death. Brothers and sisters, stop and think about it. It's not just the here and now. I said earlier, sometimes what we need to do is get a vision of the future and eternity. And I think here is a very important point of that. It's not just the here and now that we're dealing with. It's not just life now, but it's eternity. Mary's condition is physical. And if she doesn't take care of it, she will lose her physical right. But brothers and sisters, sin is a spiritual condition. And if we don't take care of it, we will lose our spiritual life, we will lose our reward in heaven, we'll end up in eternal death. Why play the game? Why sit back and say it doesn't matter? Why try and persuade ourselves that we're all okay? Allow Jesus Christ to take care of your heart. Allow Jesus Christ to move in there and remove that heart of stone and give you a positive heart that works.